Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And I think she may want to withdraw it. The word was F-A-R-T.
What were you thinking when you moved your lips? Oh.
What is the nature of your thoughts, gentlemen, when you say fuddle-duddle or something like that?
Just quieten down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries! Prime Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking there.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
Three, two, one.
Happy 250 episode.
We finally reached that milestone.
It's 250.
It's more than 249.
Ta-da. It's our 250th episode.
Yay!
We've joined the 250 club. And to celebrate, a little bit of... I mean, that's not really celebrated, but to celebrate, we have got a cake. We've got a cake, Jesse.
We do have a cake. We have a cake that says 250. I told Reese that I'm not eating sugar, and he's like, fuck you, you're eating sugar. So I guess I'm eating sugar.
Well, I was going to say blow the candles out. I wasn't going to make you eat it.
You were totally going to make me eat it.
It's my cake.
You're going to eat the whole damn thing?
I'm going to, hang on a second.
You're going to light it. Here we go. A little lighter ASMR.
Going to light the cake. 250. No, you're going to, Jesse, you're going to singe the microphone. What the hell are you doing?
I wanted to hear the candle catching fire, but it's probably not.
Yeah, not with a foam microphone that is above the flame. All right, there we go. I'm lighting the candle. This is rubbish.
We really should have gotten Sarah to take a photograph of us with the camera.
I'm going to do a video of Jesse blowing out. Ready? Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us.
It's not our birthday.
This
is not our birthday. This is our 250th episode. Our birthday is coming next month.
Okay, so.
Which is weird.
Happy
we're going to be doing this again.
Okay, let's do it
again.
Happy 250 episodes. Happy 250 episodes. Happy 250 episodes. Happy 250. There you go, blow it. Yay, saliva on the food we'll all share.
There we go. <It's an> escape flow. We should probably do the proper way and eat pizza first and have that as dessert.
I like that.
We're not animals.
That's right. I brought pizza because I didn't think I'd be eating cake, but then I caved and I'm totally going to be eating cake.
There we go.
So cold outside, this pizza might be cold.
What is it? Meat?
It's just pepperoni. Meat? Triple pepperoni.
Triple pepperoni meat town.
That's...
Lovely. So
maybe your sex tape.
So if you've never listened to this podcast, I'm really sorry because so far you've listened to two men light a cake.
And now you're going to hear them eat pizza.
For every episode, and we're going to interspersed with this episode, you'll see.
Cheers.
Pizza cheers.
The sound of Jesse and Reese eating pizza simultaneously. You're welcome.
Very greasy. My hands are covered in a fine pepperoni sheen.
This is Domino's for you, baby.
Shout out to Domino's who don't pay us for sponsorship. But if you like greasy pepperoni, then Domino's is where you should go.
I'm going to sit away from the mic so you don't hear me chewing.
Today's episode.
Yeah, what is it?
It's not about politics.
Oh.
It's a story that I've been wanting to tell for a long time, but we couldn't.
And is it at least Canadian?
It is a Canadian story.
Okay, so at least we've got that going.
But I recently heard it's such a good story. It's currently being turned into a TV show by Netflix. And I was like, well, we better do this first, because once we've done it, once everyone's going to know about it, so we need to get it out there. I think it's quite a well-known story. But
it's not The Longest Third Date, is it?
No.
I just saw a Netflix documentary trailer for this. It was cool. It's a very cool concept. So just this guy and girl go on a date from Tinder. They match, or Hinge. It was Hinge. They match on Hinge. They go on a date. Date goes really well. They go on a second date. Second date goes really well. Making out, they're feeling more comfortable with each other. Then the third date, they decide, you know what? Let's go a little crazy. Let's do something that we, like, neither one of us would think to do on a third date. Let's go on a vacation. And I forget where they go, like some tropical, they go to some tropical place, right? Like Hawaii or Haiti, or maybe not Haiti. I don't know. Someplace like that. And then they're on vacation and they're having a great time. And that's when the pandemic hits. And this is their third date.
It's based on a true story.
It's a true story. It's all filmed with their own phones. Right, all the footage is from their own phones. And they can't go home because all flights are canceled, right? And so they have to live at the hotel together, getting to know one another from their third date on, right? And they're like, it's kind of a neat concept because, like, if you think about it,
that was a concept.
It happened. It actually happened. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's kind of neat. I want to see that.
Okay. Well.
All right. What do you got for
this episode's called Brown Gold?
It sounds filthy.
So have you ever heard of the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist?
I have. We covered it.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, we have.
No, we didn't.
Are you sure?
Yep.
No, I think we did.
We didn't do the Great Maple Syrup Heist.
I know about it.
Well, not all of your knowledge comes from this show, Jesse.
I mean... Okay.
You are aware of Show Us Your Vagina now because of me. I'll take credit for that.
Where did I hear about this? Strange. But tell me about it anyway. It's fucking amazing. It's an amazing story. It was a long time ago that I heard it, so I don't remember all the details. As he chews into the microphone.
So,
yep.
This was the most valuable robbery that was ever pulled off in Canadian history.
Fuck off.
More than gold or diamonds or...
No way.
Was just maple syrup, which is hilarious.
Well, maple syrup is like, I guess it's fucking expensive. Yeah. And I know that we have in Canada, we have a reserve in case maple syrup.
Oh, this is the strategic reserve.
Yeah, yeah. That's where it was robbed. It was the reserve itself.
No, it's the strategic reserve. It's called the strategic reserve.
There's more than one reserve of maple syrup in Canada?
The international strategic reserve of maple syrup.
Wow.
Which is hilarious.
But like the fact that we're so afraid of running out of maple syrup to be able to sell to the rest of the world, we have a stockpile, like a massive stockpile.
But it's the same thing as oil companies where they stockpile barrels. It changes the value, the price. So like you produce more oil, you store more oil, and so Quebec is to maple syrup what Saudi Arabia is to oil.
Absolutely. Actually, I got an interesting statistic. Please
slightly
forgive me.
More religiously fundamental.
Here's an interesting statistic. Please forgive me, dear listener, if I get this a little bit wrong, but I'm fairly certain it's not wrong. And if it is wrong, it's only like by a tiny, tiny, tiny margin. Quebec produces 80% of the world's maple syrup.
77.
Okay, so I knew I was close. I knew it was close.
You were close.
And Nova Scotia produces 10%.
Oh, there we go.
Right? How cool is that?
But did you know maple syrup, the production of maple syrup in Quebec is strictly controlled by the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, or in French, Fédération des Producteurs Area Collège du Quebec. As they like to call themselves.
Do it again. Do it again. Come on.
Fédération des Producteurs Area Collège du Quebec. There we go. I've been working on my accent.
I can tell. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Reese. Just learn a little bit of French just for the show, man.
So you literally, you cannot produce. Like, so you were like, hey, I'm going to do a little cottage industry. I've got one maple tree. I'm going to sell it. Like, they control all of the maple syrup production. And it's essentially, they're quite powerful in that sense, because it's obviously the world's largest output. So it's kind of like a club that you can produce. You've got to be in their club if you want to be a maple syrup producer in Quebec. Doesn't apply to Nova Scotia and the other provinces. It's just in Quebec.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't like it. There's people who are threatening to move their maple syrup production out of the province because they're looking to make maple syrup independently of that.
So it's like a weird union.
It kind of is. It's kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it. I guess a conglomerate, a monopoly. I don't know what you would say, but essentially, if you want to produce maple syrup, you need to be within their organization,
which means that they get a cut or whatever you make.
Exactly. So in a few like tiny villages.
This is kind of resonant of Monsanto a little bit. Like, this is gross. Right.
Except
if you want to grow corn, you have to grow corn from our seeds, sort of thing.
Yeah, except that none of the chemicals will make you, maple syrup doesn't make your children kind of turn out as frogs or anything. Anyway.
that we know of.
So in like a small like town 40 kilometers south of Quebec, there's a few different like small communities that have these kind of warehouses that don't look like much, but inside there is the stash of maple syrup. And one in particular has got like 6.3 million kilograms of maple syrup. And there's another one with 1.4 million kilograms. And
they're not even measuring by liters. It's just pure weight.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay. And these like little kind of warehouses are what make up the strategic reserve.
Yeah. So this question is for later, but I want to know who their fence was. The people who robbed the maple syrup, which I want to hear all about this high spot.
Oh, I'll get to it.
But like, how the fuck do you fence? I can't even imagine how many fucking tons of maple syrup without getting caught.
Well, you know? I'll get to it. So, okay. The only reason, obviously, there's a lot of security.
That's yours, by the way.
Oh, thank you. If you've got a warehouse with barrels of
that half-eaten piece of pizza,
I forgot it was mine.
You think you're thanking me for reminding?
Thanks for reminding me.
I'm not touching it. Yeah.
So the reason was that these warehouses typically have very good security because of the value. So in 2011, there was a bumper year of production. So they had an additional 16,000 drums of 54 gallons each of maple syrup that they couldn't store in their normal warehouses.
Holy shit.
The strategic reserve was overflowing. It was a nightmare. Everyone was stuck to the floor.
Oh, I don't know if you have this in your notes, but recently, as in the past few years at some point, there was a dip in the normal production of maple syrup in Canada, and so they actually had to go into the reserve in order to sell.
For like imagine
the
that
first time ever.
Red phone glows.
Prime Minister, the phone. It's the phone. It's finally happening.
They've run out of maple syrup. Activate DEFCON 4. Alert the strategic reserve.
Like four jets go flying into the heart of Quebec.
They turn two keys at the same time to release
a little parachute reserve. Box drops out of all four planes. Oh, like one of the four planes at the same time. It goes all the way down to the reserve. The president of the reserve comes running out, picks up the box, opens up the lid, and it just says, do it.
Exactly. So so because of that, they needed to rent additional space in June 2021. And there was minimal security at the warehouse because it was a bit of a rush. They were like, shit, where are we going to put all this maple syrup? Quick, rent some warehouses. There were no cameras or alarms.
Would they just get a fucking, like a,
A storage facility?
Yeah, just a normal storage facility.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
You're joking.
And the logic was...
With like a fucking padlock.
Yeah, exactly, with the barrels. So the warehouse they rented was partly owned by the wife of someone named Avik Karan. And Karan was one of the men directly involved in the heist.
I was just going to say, there's no way this wasn't an inside job.
No, so you got a hot tip. Oh, this warehouse my wife part owns is... There's a shit ton of maple syrup just turned up. There's no security.
Right. I would have gone in and moved all the maple syrup to another storage facility after doing it in the first place, and then put cameras recording as soon as the door opens in the first one to catch whoever is coming to steal it.
I would have just gone there with some waffles. So he needed access to the warehouse. So what they realized was that they could... rent out space in the warehouse. So they weren't the only people renting it. So if they had...
Obviously. It's a fucking warehouse.
So they'd have access to the warehouse to avoid any suspicion about coming and going. So they decided to do that.
Hold on. Sorry. Maybe I misunderstood you. Say this again?
So the thieves realized that the international Strategic Reserve of Maple Syrup was being stored there. And it was minimal security.
Weren't they part of the...
No, they weren't. They just heard... They were the wife of the... His wife part owned the warehouse, and he heard that the maple syrup was being stored there.
Oh, it wasn't people from the reserve.
No, no, no.
I thought it was going to be an inside job for sure.
No, no, it
someone
wasn't.
Had
it was
an inside someone
job,
had to hear
it was an inside
it.
Job at the warehouse.
Oh, so the people... So friends of the wife of the owner of the warehouse, or the wife of the owner?
The wife was the part owner, and her husband was one of the ringleaders.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
Avik knew somebody called Richard Valier, and Richard was known as a barrel roller. So someone who buys and sells maple syrup direct from Quebec producers and kind of illegally bypasses the Federation so that he basically was involved in the maple syrup black market, which is a real thing.
That's amazing. Which I'm assuming, ironically, was created because of this fucking... What's it called? It's not a union, but you mentioned it before.
I guess it is like a union of producers that have teamed up. But the thing
is, what's it called again?
It's the acronym is the FPAQ. That's the French acronym.
I am riveted by this entire story. I love thievery stories. But we're going to take a little break to hear Speak Pipes.
Hi guys, Rob Williams, Vancouver, BC, former child but now an adult, although I do volunteer dressing up like Star Wars stormtroopers and aliens, so that's still in question. But I just want to say congratulations on 250 episodes. I've been binging you guys for the last month and I've got me hooked, so I really appreciate it, especially when you take me away from the boring, it is boring news, scary news of today, and it's just nice to hear you guys just chat like friends, and I really appreciate that. So all the best, and take care.
All right, so I love Canadian politics. It's boring. I'm a long-time listener, first-time speak piper. We're going to go speak piper. So I listen with my ear holes, because that's the only way to listen to stuff. Listening to your mouth hole or your eye holes just feels uncomfortable, so I listen with my ear holes. And why I listen is very quite simple. The STD zone is amazing. If I'm going to get my STD from anybody, it's from Reese and Jesse. Jesse's ASMR and adventures into dieting. Wonderful, wonderful dialogue. I love knowing about Jesse's internal workings. The funny-ass banter back and forth for like 90% of the episode where you two just rip off each other. Absolutely amazing. And then the 2 minutes... of actual topic relevant to whatever the episode is that Reese tries to jam in there because he did 10 minutes of research while reading a Wikipedia page is also amazing. Like, the whole thing just works. All right. And a couple of things. Jesse, I am with you. I shove all of my money into dead moose carcasses. It's the only way I save my money. It's the only way to save money. So good on you. Don't stop at that.
Hello, Canadian Politics is Boring. This is Andrea, one of your loyal listeners from Ontario. I saw that you asked in honor of your milestone 250th episode, you wanted to know why people listen to your podcast and how they listen to your podcast. Well, for me at least, it's obvious. Why? Has been since the beginning and always will be for the quality Jason Kenny erotica. How I listen to it? The only way I think you're legally allowed to listen to a podcast in Canada, and that's sitting in a hot vat of maple syrup. Thank you.
Congratulations, Jesse and Reese, on reaching 250 episodes. Congratulations to us for listening to 250 episodes. I've been listening since the very beginning, the tidbits of information that I usually find interesting. I do also listen to hear if Jesse is going to have those gasping laughs whereby he stops breathing and can't talk. And I also like to listen to Reese with his low chuckle rumble that seems to come from the depths of his soul. Bye guys, congratulations again.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So now they had, there's the maple syrup.
So this organization that says if you're going to make maple syrup, you have to do it through us and you have to pay us.
Yeah.
Ironically.
It's created a black market.
Created a black market that incentivized thieves. This is, all right.
So because he's been involved in the black market for 10 years, this Richard guy. So Richard was like, hey, I'm the distribution man. And then Avik was like, hey. I know that I can get access to this maple syrup. I can get it to you. You can sell it on the black market. We'll make a ton of money. And it's like in, have you watched Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah.
It's like when Walter White's trying to be a dealer, or he's making this amazing drug. He's got no distribution network. And then he finds the people who have the distribution network and partners with them and sells direct to them. So he doesn't have to have drug dealers on any street, every street corner. It's like that kind of moment.
Okay.
I guess. I imagine they'll probably copy that for the Netflix show. Anyway, so the thieves...
Are they turning this into a Netflix show?
This story, yeah.
Are they really?
That's what I said. I wanted to do...
Oh, shit, you're right. You did say that, too.
They're calling it Sticky, but our episode...
I got to move myself so that the camera can see me. My lovely mug. Oh, I want to be a part of the show.
Netflix have decided to call it Sticky, but I thought a better title was Brown Gold. So the thieves rented out their own warehouse space in there, and then they also so what happened was they got a truck driver, and they would take a few maple syrup barrels away at the time to a separate location where they had their own barrels. They would tip the maple syrup into their own syrup barrels and then replace the barrels with water and put them back where they found them.
Wow. So
the barrels were just there for as long as possible. So it was a long-term scheme.
But clearly, okay, why not just do it all in one night? Just take it. And like, they're going to know something.
Because everyone's going to be looking for thousands of gallons of, everyone's going to be looking for like thousands of barrels of maple syrup.
It was thousands of barrels. That's how big the storage facility was?
Yeah. So
it wasn't just one of these tiny little storage facilities that people rent out We're talking like a warehouse?
Yeah, like a full warehouse. Not like, it's not a U-Haul.
Oh, that's what I was picturing. I'm like, no, seems really insecure.
No, it was a large like warehouse facility because they had so many of these barrels.
How did they get access then?
I'd explain to you, they rented space in the same warehouse so they could get in.
Oh, it's like a communal fucking warehouse?
It's just a storage, you rent square foot as a storage.
In the warehouse?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like... So like a U-Haul storage would actually have
better security.
Better security.
Exactly. They just filled all the storage like little things with. It would have been better. And they got cameras too.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, so there's no cameras in this fucking warehouse.
No, exactly. So
there's no cameras in this warehouse.
No, there were no cameras. But they don't normally store it there. They just ran out of space. So it was a rushed job. So what happened?
They ran out of space that much with thousands of barrels. That's amazing.
It was just lots of maple syrup. So over several months in 2011 and 2012, nearly 3,000 tons of maple syrup valued at $18.7 million were siphoned off by the crew.
Amazing.
Without anybody noticing.
Unbelievable.
So
now my big question is, how are we hearing about this?
Well, they actually got caught by a guard, and the guard was successfully bribed to stay quiet.
Fucking A. Yeah. Right on. You're not getting paid enough.
There's $1,000 cash and a bottle of syrup.
I mean, I'd take it.
I would too.
Have you ever bribed anyone in your life?
Have I ever bribed anyone? No, I've never been in a situation where I felt I needed to bribe anyone.
I have.
Who did you bribe?
It was
was it Justin Trudeau?
No, I didn't bribe someone. I'm sorry. No, I got that wrong. I was bribed. Have you ever been bribed?
No.
Okay, so I have. It was a long time ago.
Maybe by my children with a faction.
This was a shitty bribe, by the way. Looking back at it, I'm like, come on, man. Come on. Really? So I'm going to try to avoid names here because I don't want to piss anybody off. But I was volunteering at a... I was like in my early 20s. And I was volunteering at a film festival. Okay? And just basically doing basic work for tickets and stuff. You don't get paid for it, but you get bonuses and stuff like that. And I'm taking down some posters, and this one poster, which again, I won't name the title, but the title had like, the name of a kid in it. Right. Like Tommy or something like or Billy, something that you wouldn't picture would be an adult's name sort of thing. Right?
Billy Elliot. Was it the film Billy Elliot?
It was not Billy Elliot, no. Okay. And so I'm taking the poster down, and this man comes up to me, and I'm upstairs taking this poster down, and there's nobody else around, right? It's just me on a ladder opening up the poster door and trying to take it out. And he's like, oh my God, that's amazing. Look at that poster. That's got the exact same name as my nephew, and it's his birthday like tomorrow, and I don't know what to get him. Is there any way that I could... that I could get that poster? And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I literally just volunteer here. I don't have the authority to do that. He's like, oh man, really? Is there no way? Is there like nothing we can do? And I'm young and I think this would be funny. So I just kind of look around and there's nobody around. And I turn to him and I just kind of do that thing with your fingers. Like, and I'm like, yeah. Well, if it just kind of like make a money symbol with your finger sort of thing. And he's like, oh. Right, and he's like, his eyes get all wide, and he's excited. He's like, don't move. I'll be right back. And he sprints out of the movie theater. And I'm taking the poster out thinking, big money, here I come.
It's like a $5 Tim Hortons voucher.
This is $10. He gave me a $10 fucking bill. Couldn't even go 20.
I don't think that was...
He comes over, and he's so excited. He's snapping. He's literally proudly marching towards me, snapping this crisp $10 bill in my, and by this point I had already, like, what am I going to say? That's not enough. I'm the one who kind of encouraged this behavior. So I just took it and gave him the poster.
If it was me, I would just would get him for free.
Yeah, but
I think you got yourself, if you got caught, you would be in more trouble selling the property of the festival rather than just go, ah, oh, fuck it, you can have it.
I guess.
I used to work in a cinema in the UK. And
but then I wouldn't have this cool story, Reese.
I don't suppose. I thought you were going to say you were in like, you're in some kind of administration position in a country where, which is rife with corruption, and you were like the governor, and they were like, hey, can we pump oil out of the ground over there? And you were like, no, we don't have I don't have the right license for you to do it, and none of this paperwork matches up, and they gave you a suitcase of money. That would be a bribe.
That'd be a bribe.
$10 for a poster that was going
to
get
thrown. I know, and I had to ask for the bribe, so I don't know.
Yeah, this was, I think,
Still, it's the only time I've ever been bribed. Even though I asked for the bribe, it's the only time I'm going to take it. And I think it's a fun story. So there, go fuck yourself.
That's fine.
Tell me the rest of the story.
I was giving it for free.
Yeah, I know. Because
when I used to work in the cinema.
He says this, ladies and gentlemen, but we had three pieces of pizza left and I offered them to the employees outside. And he's like, no, fuck you. No.
They don't work hard enough. I'm joking, they do. It's a small pizza and I'm hungry. So.
You got another? Oh, you ate it.
It's all gone. It's all gone. Anyway.
That was a medium pizza, believe it or not. That's
so it ran smoothly until July 2012 when an FBAQ inspector that was at the warehouse conducted.
So hold up. Sorry, just to back up.
Mm-hmm.
The guard, took a bribe, but kept coming back to work.
Stayed quiet
at work, seeing them. So now they didn't have to be as quiet. Now they've got someone on the inside who they've already paid.
Yeah.
And they don't have to sneak around as much. They can just kind of do their thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Look, cool. A UFO. Quick.
right. Yeah, that's the first thing I would say when trying to distract someone. Yeah.
So the FPAQ inspector was at the warehouse conducting an annual inventory check, which involved climbing over some of the stacks of barrels. And each of those barrels weighs 600 pounds when it's filled.
Jesus.
So what had happened?
How did the thieves get them out?
Well, I guess with like machines. Like
they'd roll them.
Forklift trucks or roll
them. Oh, wow.
Them.
Yeah.
Or an elephant. So one of those Quebec elephants.
Very familiar.
Quebec elephant.
Yeah. Thanks, Reese.
No problem. So obviously this has been going well for years. Over $18 million.
Years.
It's been going well since 2011 to 2012. So maybe like over a year.
So okay. So this is I want to interject by saying there's when I was younger, I still love the idea of thievery. It's just not something I would ever do.
I love the idea of
thievery. I love the idea of smart thievery. Smart.
Oh, like a gentleman thief who does it with a little smile.
Yes, but like it's more about getting away with it. It's more about the con itself. It's more about the details involved in how do we get away with this than it is the money or what you're with.
And who you rob, if you rob some kind of idiot.
Oh my God, of course. Yeah. That's of course. Yeah. So like I love stories like this. It's fascinating to me. And it's from all the books that I've read and movies I've watched, etc. There's essentially a rule of thumb, which is you can, if you're smart enough and you've got a good plan, you can get away with any crime once. Maybe not murder, but like, then again, maybe like we only see television shows.
I did.
Right. We see television shows and movies about how no one gets away with murder, but like I'm guessing that actually people do get away with murder.
And
like,
the wrong people often get convicted of murder.
Right. But like I'm talking like if you're going to rob a bank as an example, okay, the way you're caught is through your patterns.
Yeah.
The FBI, or CSIS in our case, would be looking for patterns of like, how do they rob banks? Where do they rob banks next? What do they do with their money, et cetera, et cetera, so that they can come and catch you next time. If you want to rob a bank once, almost guaranteed you'll get away with it, as long as you never do it again.
Yeah.
Right? So the fact that these guys just got greedy and just kept going for years, it was inevitable. That they got caught.
And that was it. They got careless.
Yes.
So yeah. the inspector...
2 years is insane.
Well, I think it was over a year at least. But
okay, but still.
So, but the inspector basically knocked over some of these giant barrels that were supposed to be full. They'd forgotten to refill them or they hadn't bothered.
Oh, so had they just kept with the plan...
If they'd filled it with water, like the original plan, they might not have been caught. Or they wouldn't have been caught for a lot longer. So what happened was he tripped over, knocked a bunch of barrels over and was like, these are supposed to be full of syrup. Rang alarm bells because they thought, you know, someone's stealing syrup from you. So the police launched an investigation immediately. They recovered hundreds of barrels of syrup from Kedgwick in New Brunswick. So they've been running.
Well, how'd they catch them?
You can't just
jump from the investigated and caught them. The end.
No. But...
That's half the fun, man. How'd they get caught?
So they basically started raiding and looking at... syrup exporters that, you know, that this black market exists. So they're probably aware of known suspects and we need to shake down the usual suspects.
Like, let's start with the guard.
Yeah. Start with Kevin Spacey.
The guard of the warehouse. Let's start with him.
So a lot of it had made his way to the illegal serum market, which meant it was almost impossible to be traced or recovered. Most of it had ended up on pancakes, and that was hard to get back.
Apparently not impossible. Okay.
So because of that, the thieves still see it as a success, because from their point of view, they didn't like the FPAQ, and they perceived the maple syrup producing organization.
And they'd already made millions of dollars.
Yeah. So Raymond Vallier, who was one of the kind of people the criminals caught, basically said stealing from thieves is not stealing. That was his attitude. They didn't feel like they were stealing.
I'm with him. I like this guy.
So some people wonder.
But he clearly got caught. So I'm curious what happened.
Well, Richard Vallier's got, he was accused of ringleader. He got 8 years in prison plus 4 points.
No, how did he get caught, man? Well, skip that shit.
I don't know. They caught the police investigation, caught them all.
Oh, man, what are you doing to me?
That's all that was.
That's bull. There's more info. So,
but he got 8 years and a $9.4 million fine with an extension to 14 years if he didn't pay the fine. So obviously they couldn't find the money either.
And he sold it for $18 million? Or I guess a lot of them did.
Yeah, but then a Quebec court lowered the fine to $1 million. And then the Supreme Court reversed that decision and reinstated the original fine of $9.4 million. Would you keep $9.4 million would you spend 4 years in prison for that money?
Okay, first off, my question is, so why did they lower to $1 million? Was it like, we'll lower your fine to $1 million if you tell us where all the money is?
No, he appealed it in court, saying that fine was excessive.
Okay, so...
And then the Supreme Court said, no, it's fine.
Out of curiosity, now I don't know Canadian law this well, and I'm assuming, as a new immigrant, you as well do not know the Canadian law system this well, but had he appealed the fine in court, and the new judge was like, you're right, I'll lower it to $1 million fine, and then he just paid the fine then and there. Here you go, here's $1 million. Done. It be appealed by the whoever you said once again and increased? Is it done? It's done.
The way I read that is that they couldn't find his money.
Right.
He'd put the money somewhere safe, like a bank account somewhere they couldn't touch.
Some maple syrup barrels.
Exactly. Yeah. So they were like, we're going to put you in prison for 9 years, and if you don't retrieve that money and pay the fine, mm-hmm. you can do an extra 4 years. So that was the deal.
But then they reduced it.
And then it got pushed back up again. One court of the Quebec Court of Appeal.
My question is, would it have been pushed up if he had paid the $1 million fine right away? Do you see what I'm saying?
I guess so. I don't know.
No?
They probably would have tried it anyway and going, you've got $1 million discount now.
So what was your question for me? If I had $18 million hidden away somewhere.
If you had $9.4 million fine to pay.
Yeah,
or 4 years in prison,
or 4 years.
Yeah,
so it was one or the other.
So you paid the $9.4 million, or you spent 4 years in prison.
So how many people am I in on this with?
It's just you. It's your money.
No. How many people did I go in on this with?
Well, there was a bunch of people. But what I'm saying is that they're like, hey, Jeff, you've got $9.4 million in a hidden bank account. No.
Okay. So I went in on this with. Well, this is important. I'll answer your question. How many were I partnered with?
So there's also Raymond, who was convicted of possession and sentenced to two years in jail.
And a fine?
Etienne Saint-Pierre.
Did they have fines?
No, he didn't have a fine. Etienne Saint-Pierre, a New Brunswick-based syrup reseller, was sentenced to 2 years and a $840,000 fine. Avik Caron, whose wife owned the warehouse, was sentenced to 5 years plus a $1.2 million fine. And Sebastian Dutras, the truck driver, served 8 months in prison.
So what I would do is I would, during the appeal, well, they did appeal it. He got it down to $1 million.
Yeah, and then it went back up again.
And then went back up again.
The FPAQ appealed again.
Right.
Because don't forget, they got a lot of money.
So why did he get 9 years and everybody else got varying degrees?
I think because
he was the ringleader. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. But he'd be serving 13 years of prison.
14.
14. You said it was 9 years.
But without paying the fine.
So all he had to do was pay the fine and then he'd have what?
9 years.
9 years instead of 13.
Instead of 14.
Instead of 14. Why do I keep saying 13? I don't know. Well, you said nine.
I said 4 years. I added up wrong. Five years. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Would you spend half a decade in prison or lose that money?
Not half a decade. 9 years is almost a decade.
No, I mean the 5 years.
And on top really, of it,
we should move on. But do you know what?
If I'm spending 9 years anyway, right?
What's the extra five?
What's the extra five? Seriously, I'm already in prison. I'm not.
By the time you get to 9 years, you probably love it, and
right?
You want that bonus five.
Exactly. And by the time I get out, I want money waiting.
I'm
for
just
me.
Hitting my stride.
Exactly.
The golden right? The golden 5 years are ahead of me.
Yeah. Do I want to suffer through 9 years of prison and come out with no money on the other end, or suffer through 14 years of prison and have all
and then,
a bunch of money
and then go and get my money?
Yeah, exactly. I'll do that. Now, the other thing is, like, I've got 18.5 million. I think you said it was what,
but that was split between all of them.
And the nine was mine because I'm the ringleader.
I think so.
So it was like, I get 50% and the rest of you fucks get
I don't
to
know.
Split
50%? That was just a fine.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. I'm not sure. So,
yeah, fuck them. I'll do my time.
Yeah. So adjusted for inflation, it was the heist was the most valuable in Canadian history.
And I will write a book while inside prison
exactly.
And then sell it
to Netflix. for another nine million dollars. But the thing I did learn about this, the thing I took away is,
did you know that you, I actually don't know if this is in Canada or the States or both, but you cannot, I learned this recently, and so I don't know if this is true or not, because it was told to me by a friend.
Right.
You are not allowed making a profit off of things that you do in prison.
No, you're not. No.
You say that as if it's common knowledge. I didn't know this.
Well, yeah.
Like, I couldn't, if I was in prison if I was the ringleader in prison, I couldn't write a book about my exploits and then sell it and make a profit.
While in prison, you couldn't. You could do it after.
Could you do it after?
Yeah.
Yeah? Could you, could you write the book while you're in prison and then when you get out, you publish it?
A lot of people write memoirs about when they were in prison and sell them as a book.
No, but could you write it while you're in prison?
I don't see why not. What are they going to say? Or you could just make notes. I was going to say, no, you made those notes. It doesn't apply.
I don't think
you could do it while you're kind of under the control of the prison system. You probably
right.
can't. You're only allowed to print license plates. But while you're, you know, once you get out from there, then I think you can.
Wonder if you have access to the net.
But the one thing I learned from this is that there's a job in Quebec where you taste every single barrel for an independent team of maple syrup tasters
what?
To approve quality. And some people get to taste, what? They taste the sugar content and flavor of up to 250 barrels a day. They just take a nip.
What?
So.
Oh my God, I have a new purpose in life.
All of the, like, their life expectancies.
How do I get this job, Reese?
Their life expectancy is terrible. They're famous for having no teeth.
I don't care. You're trying to make this sound less appealing to me. You're not doing a good job. I'm taking this job. I'm doing this. Oh my God!
So now we've finished.
I may be moving to Quebec.
Really?
Yeah. And
you
know, so
I can teach you French if you want.
You know? Oh yes, thank you. I was just going to say you know French, and then halfway through the sentence, I realized what I was talking to.
can you bring that back, please?
Oh yeah, the place to dump the icing filled. Don't do. Okay. I'll get this one then. Fine. Here we go.
I'm gonna cut the cake.
Sucking the icing off the candles. Here we go. Can we see it? We
can't. Suck in the icing.
There we go. Right and right so the camera can see it. Say who your girlfriend is if you get icing on the knife.
What?
You have to say who your girlfriend is if you get icing on the knife. Is that not, have you never heard of that?
Say to your girlfriend.
Have you never heard that?
What phrase?
You have to say the name of your girlfriend if you get icing on your knife when cutting a cake. Have you never heard this? This must be a Canadian thing.
I don't get it.
It's like for little kids. Right? Any little kid's birthday party, right?
I don't have a girlfriend.
Exactly. Right?
I don't even have poop.
So it makes it more fun when you say to an adult who's married, you know, because then they're like, my girlfriend's name is Michelle. I'm so sorry. I love you, my wife. You know, like.
I see. Yeah. So there's an implication of infidelity.
There you go.
Ah, Canadian humor. Happy birthday. Now let's imply infidelity.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Do it by a microphone.
Oh, it's not birthday. Happy 250.
Happy 250. Nom, nom, nom.
Right,
birthday's coming next month. Are we doing a cake again next month?
No. Right, so this has been our 250 episode. Thanks, everyone. And interspersed in this episode, you hear the speak pipes of people sending us well wishes.
Dear listener, thank you so much for sticking around for 250 episodes. If you are new, then this is the kind of crazy stuff that we do here on the show. If you are old as in an old dear friend of the show, not an old fuck. Or you can also be an old fuck. That's fine, too. We love old fucks.
We love old fucks.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you. The show is what it is because of people like you. Yeah, we love each and every one of you. So that's it for today. Thanks for sticking us in your ear holes all snug in there just the way you like it. Yeah. Reese, that was a great show. That was a great episode, man. I love thief stuff. I do. I really do. I think it's great.
We should do that. We should do a picture TV show where we learn to be thieves and we try and rob somewhere.
I would do that show.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Like right now.
Sounds really illegal, but all right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
And I think she may want to withdraw it. The word was F-A-R-T.
What were you thinking when you moved your lips?
What is the nature of your thoughts, gentlemen, when you say fuddle-duddle or something like that?
Just quieten down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries!
Prime Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.